You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and it is time to check in with Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon, who has been able to actually have some real summer vacation this year. We have missed you around here, John, but it is real nice to know you and the family actually have had a chance to enjoy the summer.
How about that idea?
I know. It's good to see you. So this weekend, we saw two Detroit Tiger heroes get their due with Alan Trammell and Jack Morris inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So what is it about each man, in your view, that made them true Hall of Famers?
Well, the hard part for them, they had to wait 20 years, basically. And they got in off the Veterans Committee, not the Baseball Writers Association. So they got in the back door, if you will. And the reason is the Hall of Fame awards excellence. If you're Sandy Koufax and you're great for 5 years, truly exceptional, you're in. But if you're Jack Morris or if you're Alan Trammell and you were very good for 2 decades, you have a hard time getting in.
Isn't that something?
Which is kind of a shame, but I'm glad they corrected that. In Trammell's case, he played in the era of the shortstop. So he's going against Cal Ripken, Robin Yount, Ozzie Smith, all Hall of Famers, and you're kind of screwed. So you get overlooked. So he got in and he should have gotten in. The numbers are there. In Jack Morris's case, he was the best pitcher of the 80s, but did not beat the best out there. He's just better than everyone else over a long period of time.
Okay.
The guy's got 4 World Series, so look at that. And he's an unbelievable competitor.
Finally, they made it, and also attention being put on that 84 World Series Tigers team. I was actually at the game when they won, which
there you go. Game 5,
great.
Of course,
absolutely.
Back in the day.
Absolutely. 84, the
first,
yep.
He's the first 2 Tigers from that championship team.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing, because that team went out to a 35-5 start, one of the best teams really around.
So who do you think should be the next Tiger to get to Cooperstown, and why?
Lou Whitaker, because his numbers are almost the same as Trammell's. It is striking. It's almost a dead heat. Those two guys were by far the longest-running double play combination, shortstop and second baseman. They turned 1,500-some double plays. That's a ridiculous amount. He should get in. However, the voters like him a lot less than they like Trammell. He was only on the ballot 1 year with the writers and did not get even 5% of the vote. So he's going to have a harder time getting there, but he's got a lot of guys pushing for him.
What's your favorite Alan Trammell story?
Easy. The last game of his career in 1996, I was a feature writer with the Detroit News writing Sunday features. So therefore, I very rarely wrote about the Tigers during that time because they stunk. So I wrote about the Red Wings a lot during that stretch. And the last game, I show up and I ask to talk to him and he says, let's go over here. And we go to a quiet area of the locker room and we talk for half an hour. He did not know me. He did not owe me anything. And he gave me everything and talked to anybody in the media. And they'll tell the same thing, that Trammell was simply a gem. Talked to his teammates, talked to the fans, talked to the reporters. This guy's one of the best humans to play the game. So it's great to see a good guy actually finish first.
Speaking of Detroit sports heroes, Chris Chelios has left the Red Wings, gone back home to Chicago to be closer to his mom. Is there any reason for Wings fans to grumble that Chelios immediately announced he's going to be an ambassador for the Blackhawks?
No. Let it go. The guy is from Chicago. He's going home to see his mom. He's got to make a living, right? So, and he was a Blackhawk for as long as he was a Red Wing. And by the way, ambassadors don't win you playoff games. So.
That's true. And it makes me think of what it was like when Chelios swapped that Blackhawk sweater for the winged wheel, showed up on Wings ice in 1999. It was like this huge enemy, and now he's on our side.
Chelios was the best player in the Blackhawks all those years and the thorn in the Red Wings side. He's the toughest defenseman by far. And he flips over, and like your biggest problem is now your biggest asset. So what he did for the Red Wings was, when Vladimir Konstantinov was injured in the accident, of course, he was their toughest defenseman. Chelios fills that role and wins you 2 more cups with Detroit. He was essential for those teams.
And a lot of people enjoyed his chili.
I've had it. I've actually advertised it. How about that?
There you go. Things are starting to ramp up for the new college football season. You got Michigan and Notre Dame kicking things off September 1st in South Bend. And the night before, August 31st, the Spartans are going to host the Utah State Aggies. So we've heard both coaches talk about their upcoming seasons because Big Ten Media Days just happened. So what did you take away from that?
Very little. You go to this thing, by the way, everyone's had a great offseason. They've all worked hard in the weight room, and they've got great senior leadership. So you learn very little from that. However, what you do learn is what the press is thinking. Jim Harbaugh's questions were almost exclusively about his rival records against Michigan State and Ohio State. He's 1-5 against those two. So if you ask me what they have to do, clearly the focus at Michigan is on beating the Spartans and beating the Buckeyes. That's no surprise there. I think they're headed for a very good season. However, that first game against Notre Dame, circle it. I cannot recall a first game with more weight on it. If they win that game, you get on a roll. If you lose that game, you got to reassemble all over again. And they'll do it, but it's a lot harder.
And how about MSU?
MSU, the Aggies are not going to stop them. So,
what kind of questions was D'Antonio getting?
Well, he's getting questions about, of course, one of his former players who was known to issue racist comments, and they decided to bring him back based on a team vote and this and that. I don't think he handled that very well. I think D'Antonio usually does. But in this case, don't tell me what their players' vote was. And no, you're the head coach. The guy's on the team if you say he is. And don't hide behind the players. It's good to know what the players think. And I would want that as part of my data, no doubt, as the head coach. But you are the head coach. If the guy's on the team, you're responsible. And you've got to own that.
Michigan Radio sports commentator, John Eubank. And thanks, John.
Thank you.